Subprime and predatory lending. Subprime loans. Subprime loans have risk-based pricing. The rates are not published on these loans. Borrowers are rated A to F, with a prime borrower having an A rating. A minus to F-rated borrowers will pay 1 to 5% higher than those with good credit. These are non-conforming loans. The advent of the so-called subprime loan was a windfall for borrowers with damaged or inadequate credit histories. Subprime lending gave a large segment of consumers access to credit that for years they were incapable of acquiring in the conventional prime market. By 1994, the $35 billion in subprime mortgages represented less than 5% of all mortgage originations. By 1999, subprime lending had increased to $160 billion, almost 13% of the mortgage origination market. The expansion of the subprime market indeed produced a real estate boom in the United States. The high yields generated by the subprime products appealed to numerous lenders who originated risky mortgages with floating interest rates and weak underwriting standards. The rapid growth of subprime lending in the 1990s distorted the long-established conventional lending practices in America. Mortgage lenders, who for years determined the creditworthiness of consumers based on the three C's of credit, character, capacity, and collateral, abandoned their time-honored underwriting standards. Subprime lending became widespread in the mortgage industry. Lenders offered subprime mortgages to borrowers with impaired or limited credit histories and to those who had high debt-to-income ratios. To offset the higher risks associated with these loans, borrowers were charged higher interest rates and higher upfront fees. Subprime lending also became the forerunner of abusive lending practices in a growing segment of the mortgage lending market. These abusive practices are identified today as predatory mortgage lending. While there are no legal definitions in the United States for predatory lending, an audit report on predatory lending from the Office of Inspector General of the FDIC broadly defines predatory lending as imposing unfair and abusive loan terms on borrowers. There are many different forms that predatory lending takes. In each instance, however, a financial institution takes unfair advantage of a consumer's financial needs by charging usurious interest rates and other unconscionable fees. Predatory lending. When an unscrupulous lender takes advantage of a consumer's lack of knowledge regarding lending practices, it is called predatory lending. Actions considered predatory include steering borrowers to high-rate loans, falsifying loan documents, forging signatures, changing terms at closing, and requiring credit insurance. Predatory lending typically affects senior citizens, lower income, and challenged credit borrowers. Predatory lending forces borrowers to pay exorbitant loan origination/settlement fees, higher interest rates, and in some cases, unreasonable service fees. These practices often result in the borrower defaulting on his mortgage payment and undergoing foreclosure or forced refinancing. Predatory lending has become one of the most critical policy issues facing mortgage lending. Nearly every federal financial services regulatory agency has publicly denounced predatory lending and called for more effective regulation to address it. In order to protect consumers against abusive lending practices, the government has implemented regulations that prohibit abusive business through a variety of consumer protection laws. These laws are designed to restrict and, in some cases, prohibit certain types of mortgage lender activities. Above all else, consumer protection laws are intended to protect consumers. Predatory lending practices. The reach and effect of abusive practices by predatory lenders increased along with the dramatic growth of the subprime industry in the early 2000s. The following are some of the more common predatory practices. Financing excessive fees into loans. Predatory lenders often finance huge fees into loans, stripping thousands of dollars in hard-earned equity and racking up additional interest in the future. Borrowers in predatory loans are routinely charged fees of just under 8% of the loan amount, compared to the average 1 to 2% assessed by banks to originate loans. Once the paperwork is signed and the rescission period expires, there is no way to get that equity back, and borrowers frequently lose up to $10,000 or $15,000 from their home while receiving little, if any, benefit from the refinancing. The damage is compounded at higher interest rates, as borrowers often pay colossal interest costs over the years, just to pay down the fees. Typically, the loan fees are kept below 8% in order to stay under the HUPA fee threshold established by federal law, which would then require additional disclosures to the borrower and additional consumer protections. Example: a couple with limited English-speaking skills were convinced to refinance their mortgage and take a cash out of around $9,500. To do so, they were charged $10,368 in lender fees, plus another $927 in third-party fees, which totaled around 8% of their loan amount of $145,259. They are now struggling to make their monthly payments, which, unlike their previous loan, do not include taxes and insurance. Charging higher interest rates than a borrower's credit warrants. While the higher interest rates charged by subprime lenders are intended to compensate lenders for taking a greater credit risk, too many borrowers are unnecessarily paying higher interest rates. Borrowers with perfect credit are regularly charged interest rates 3 to 6 points higher than the market rates. With some subprime lenders, there simply is no lower rate, no matter how good the credit. According to a rate sheet used by the Associates in the spring of 2000, their lowest interest rate for a borrower with excellent credit and a low loan-to-value ratio was over 10%. During a similar period, household borrowers with excellent credit saw rates above 11%. Moreover, for borrowers with imperfect credit, rates are frequently much higher than even somewhat blemished credit would reasonably warrant, as well as for what the industry describes as standard rates for B, C, or D borrowers. Example: a husband and wife with FICO scores of 700, 21, and 693, respectively, even higher ratings from other credit bureaus, were not looking to refinance. However, they were distracted by the recent death of a granddaughter, and the loan officer made a strong sales pitch. Over $14,000 in fees and a $5,271 single premium credit insurance policy were financed into their loan, which they are locked into by a 5-year prepayment penalty for over $10,000. Despite their excellent credit record, they were given an interest rate of 13.0% on their mortgage, making loans without regard to the borrower's ability to pay. Some predatory lenders make loans based solely on a homeowner's equity, even when it is evident that the homeowner will not be able to afford their payments. For mortgage brokers, the motivation to engage in this kind of practice is a short-sighted desire for the fees generated by the loan. Loan officers at mortgage companies may have similar motivations based on earning commissions, regardless of the consequence to the lender for which they work. For some lenders, especially when there is significant equity in a home, the motivation is the ultimate foreclosure on the house, which can then be resold for a profit. Example: a mortgage lender solicited a homeowner for a second mortgage to consolidate his debt. The new loan had a 13.4% interest and a monthly payment of $612, leaving him with a total housing payment of $1,257 a month. At the time that he received the loan, he was working at a plastic company and had gross earnings of $1,600 a month, meaning that his housing payment was 79% of his income. As would be expected, he has fallen behind on both of his payments and is facing foreclosure. Prepayment penalties. More than 2/3 of subprime loans have prepayment penalties, compared to less than 2% of conventional prime loans. The penalties come due when a borrower pays off their loan early, typically through refinancing or a sale of the house. The penalties remain in force for a period ranging from the first 2 to 5 years of the loan and are often as much as 6 months' interest on the loan. For a $100,000 loan at 11% interest, this would be over $5,000. When a borrower with a prepayment penalty refinances, the amount of the penalty ends up being financed into the new loan. In effect, for borrowers who refinance or sell their houses during the period covered by the prepayment penalty, The penalty functions as an additional and expensive fee on the loan, further robbing them of their equity. Lenders argue that prepayment penalties protect them against the frequent turnover of loans, and that as a result of the higher rates that investors are willing to pay for loans with prepayment penalties, they are able to charge borrowers lower interest rates. The truth is, however, that very large, and apparently quite predictable, numbers of borrowers in subprime loans do refinance within the period covered by the prepayment penalty and may well end up paying more in the penalty than they saved, even if their interest rate was reduced. It is particularly pernicious when prepayment penalties keep borrowers trapped in the all-too-common situation of paying interest rates higher than they should be. Another particularly damaging instance of prepayment penalties is when they are combined with an adjustable-rate loan. Borrowers are sold a loan with a starting rate that lasts for 2 or 3 years and then rises dramatically. When faced with the new higher interest rate, they look to refinance and find that they will have to pay a prepayment penalty. Example: a couple wanted to lower the monthly payment on their two mortgages and were looking to refinance. A loan officer told them he could save them $200 to $300 a month, and they went ahead with the refinance. They ended up with two mortgages, a first for $133,000 at 10.5% interest, and a second for $10,000 at 21.7%, which gave them a total monthly payment of $1,501 minus $125 more than before. Their new first mortgage also included almost $10,000 in fees. They had very good credit. When they looked into refinancing in order to receive a better interest rate, they found out that both of their loans had prepayment penalties, which required that, if they refinanced within the first 5 years of the loan, they would have to pay a penalty of 6 months' interest, more than $7,000. Despite their good credit, they are now stuck in these high interest rates. Mainstream lenders will not refinance them, because between their loan amounts and the prepayment penalties, their new loan would have to be for more than their house is worth. Loans for over 100% loan-to-value. Some lenders regularly make loans for considerably more than a borrower's home is worth with the specific intents of maximizing their debt and subsequently their payments, trapping them as customers for an extended period. Even borrowers with excellent credit have no way to escape from a high-rate loan if they are upside down and owe more than their homes are worth, and, even more frequently, are unaware of the consequences. Example: a single mother bought a house for her three kids and soon started receiving solicitations to refinance her debts from a lender. When she eventually agreed to do so, her loan amount was inflated to $156,000, compared to the house's value of $145,000, by well over $12,000 in financed fees and a financed single premium credit life insurance policy for $3,491. Her interest rate jumped to 12.2%, and she was locked into the high rate with a 5-year prepayment penalty of nearly $10,000 that no one told her about. Now she is prevented from refinancing out of her high interest rate of 12.2%, compared to her variable interest rate of around 7% on her previous first mortgage, because her loan is for more than her house is worth, plus she has a 5-year prepayment penalty for nearly $10,000. Home improvement scams. Some home improvement contractors deliberately target their marketing efforts to lower-income neighborhoods where homes are in most need of repairs and where the owners are unable to pay for the service. The contractor tells the homeowner that they will arrange for the financing to pay for the work and refers the homeowner to a specific broker or lender, even driving them to the lender's or broker's office. Sometimes the contractor begins the work before the loan is closed, so that even if the homeowner has second thoughts about taking the loan, they are forced into it in order to pay for the work. The lender may then make the payments directly to the contractor, which means that the homeowner has no control over the quality of the work. As a result, the work may not be done correctly or even at all, but the homeowner is still stuck with a high-interest, high-fee loan. Allowing for the loan proceeds to go directly to the contractor for work that has not been completed often also leads to problems for those homeowners who seek out contractors rather than being solicited by them. Single premium credit insurance. Credit insurance is insurance linked to a specific debt or loan, which will pay off that particular debt if the borrower loses the ability to pay either because of sickness, credit health insurance, death, credit life insurance, or losing their job, credit unemployment insurance. It is rarely promoted in the A lending world, but it has been aggressively and deceptively sold in single premium form in connection with higher cost loans and then financed into the home loans, costing borrowers equity in their homes and forcing them to pay interest on the insurance premium for 30 years. With single premium policies, instead of making regular monthly, quarterly, or annual payments, as people do with other insurance policies, the credit insurance is paid in one lump sum payment, which may be as high or even higher than $10,000, especially if borrowers are sold multiple forms of credit insurance, as is frequently the case. This premium is then financed into the loan, increasing the loan amount, and since the loan amount is higher, the lender's origination fees also increase, and the borrower must then pay monthly interest on the amount of the insurance premium. While the coverage on a single premium policy usually lasts for only 5 years, the borrower pays for it and pays interest on it over the 30 years of the home loan. Typically, single premium credit insurance policies cost 4 to 5 times as much as month paid credit insurance and over 10 times as much as term life insurance policies. And of course, the cost of these alternative products is not stacked against the borrower's home. In recognition of the widespread opposition to this predatory product, and in response to massive pressure from community organizations and advocates, many large lenders, including Citigroup and Household Finance, have agreed to stop selling financed single premium credit insurance policies. A homeowner refinanced into a 30-year $55,252 loan at a 13.85% interest rate with monthly payments of $648, minus $108, of which goes to pay for the credit insurance. Included in this loan amount was $9,156 for credit life, credit accident, and credit unemployment insurance through an affiliate of the lender. Financing this amount into the loan will cost the homeowner over $136,000 more than if he had used the entire $648 to pay down the loan early. Balloon payments. Mortgages with balloon payments are arranged so that after making a certain number of regular payments, often 5 or 7 years worth, sometimes 15, the borrower must pay off the remaining loan balance in its entirety in one balloon payment. About 10% of subprime loans have balloon payments. There are specific circumstances where balloon payments make sense for some well-qualified borrowers, but for most borrowers, in subprime loans, they are incredibly harmful. Balloon mortgages, especially when combined with high interest rates, make it more difficult for borrowers to build equity in their homes. Many borrowers are unaware that their loan has a balloon payment, that their monthly payments are essentially only paying a small portion of the principal, and that the balloon will ultimately force them to refinance. Negative amortization. In a negatively amortized loan, the borrower's payment does not cover all of the interest due, much less any principal. The result is that despite regularly making the required monthly payment, the borrower's loan balance increases every month and they lose rather than build equity. Many borrowers are not aware that they have a negative amortization loan and do not find out until they call the lender to inquire why their loan balance keeps going up. Predatory lenders use negative amortization to sell the borrower on the low payment without making it clear that this payment will cause the principal to rise rather than fall. Example: a homeowner with good credit received a $64,000 loan through a mortgage broker. The broker told her the loan would have an interest rate of 5.5% and a monthly payment of $363. However, she was not told that this was only a teaser rate and that the interest rate would increase and soon rise to 8.4%. Her monthly payment of $363, which was based on the teaser interest rate, remained the same even after the interest rate increased, and so did not cover all of the interest due. Even when she made her full payment, her principal amount increased. The homeowner was unaware that her loan contained these terms. Loan flipping. Flipping is a practice in which a lender, often through high pressure or deceptive sales tactics, encourages repeated refinancing by existing customers and tax on thousands of dollars in additional fees or other charges each time. Some lenders will intentionally start borrowers with a loan at a higher interest rate so that the lender can then refinance the loan to a slightly lower rate and charge additional fees to the borrower. This kind of multiple refinancing is never beneficial to the borrower and results in the further loss of equity. Flipping can also take place when competing lenders refinance the same borrowers repeatedly, promising benefits each time which are not delivered or which are outweighed by the additional costs of the loan. Example: a lender convinced an elderly couple to refinance their mortgage to a new loan amount of around $93,000, which included over $10,000 in refinanced fees and a single premium credit life insurance policy for close to $6,000. 2 years later, the same lender convinced the couple to refinance again, without paying off any other debts, a fixed interest rate of 11.5%, financing into their loan what looks like over $2,200 in fees, plus a credit insurance policy for over $10,000. Another year later, the same lender refinanced them again at an 11.5% interest rate without any discernible benefit, while they were charged another nearly $900 in additional fees. Property flipping. Property flipping is an elaborate scam in which unsuspecting first-time homebuyers are sold houses in extreme states of disrepair for prices far above what the houses are actually worth. The typical property flip begins with an investor or real estate company purchasing a distressed property for as little as a couple of thousand dollars. After doing minimal cosmetic or even no work to the property, the owner finds a buyer, frequently targeting low-income minority families. The buyers have no agent representation of their own and no real estate knowledge, putting them at the mercy of the seller/owner. The seller/owner abuses this position by lying about the condition of the house, promising to make visibly needed repairs, setting the sales price at far above the property's actual value, and referring the buyer to a subprime lender or broker. Many subprime lenders will only make a purchase loan if the loan is for 80% or less of the value of the property. In these instances, the property seller uses several schemes, so it will appear that the buyer has the required down payment of 20% or more. The seller first sets the sales price far above what the property is actually worth. Then the seller falsifies the buyer's deposit and will often create a second mortgage, which exists on paper only. The key to the scam is to have a lender or broker that will utilize appraisers who will support the property's inflated sales price. In exchange for their participation, the lender or broker is compensated by the fees and additional charges on the loan, which are often excessive. Buying one's first house is often a significant milestone in life and an important step towards achieving economic self-sufficiency, but the swindlers involved in property flipping have made the experience one of the worst things to ever happen to their victims. While there are no hard numbers about how many families have been victimized by property flipping, the problem reached epidemic proportions in many cities before the authorities were even aware that a problem existed.